Rod McCallum is here to speak with us this morning. He's from Queen City Farms. Rod and his wife Megan and their children live in on the east side of Buffalo. And I respect them very much for what they're doing there. They've moved into that neighborhood, I think been there 7 or 8 years now, and ministering to the people who live there around them. And so we call that incarnational ministry. You move into the place where God's calling you to minister, and you live with the people that you're ministering to. And hopefully we're really all doing that. Hopefully we're all involved in incarnational ministry. That's what Jesus did. He came and lived among us, those to whom he ministered. And so hopefully we're all ministering to the people where we live, where we work, the people that we interact with. So Rod and Megan have Queen City Farms. They grow crops. They have gardens there on, what, about an acre of land that you have around your house there. And he was just sharing with me that they have a couple that's really helping out with that this year. So that's going to be a great help, because they've transitioned a little bit into a little more relational ministry, really ministering to the children as well as adults in their neighborhood there. They're also involved with a new church plant. I don't know how new it is at this point. It's a number of years old, but it's a newer church, and so they're involved in the leadership of that as well. And recently, Rod was asked by New York Mennonite Conference to be the Anabaptist sort of ministry coordinator in Buffalo. New York Mennonite Conference continues to want to find ways that we can minister in the city of Buffalo, and so he's kind of doing that, finding the different things that we can be involved with, the connections we can make there. So, Rod, come up. I'd like to pray with you before you bring us the message this morning. And I told Rod to tell us as much as he wants about the different ministry that he's involved with. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that Rod is here with us this morning. I'm mindful of the fact that he said that Megan has been dealing with some physical difficulties recently. And so I'd especially like to lift her up this morning and just ask for your healing for her. And all the complications that are involved there with doctors and insurance, I just ask that you would pave the way, provide what is needed. Lord, as Rod speaks with us this morning, Lord, I ask that just as he's been praying and asking you what to say this morning, I ask that you would speak through him and that you would minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, yeah, I mean, as you think about what to say to a group of people, they always say, right, think about the audience and speak to the people that you're going to address. And I know some of you, and I've gotten to interact with some of you, some of your congregation came out to the farm a couple years ago, I think. It was 2 summers ago. We had a little picnic there. And then last summer, a couple of the gentlemen came out and put up a swing set. Apparently, you guys had a snafu with the swing set, and that turned out to be a blessing for us. And we've got a nice new swing set for the kids in the neighborhood to play on. And let me tell you, they play on it. They're there all the time. It's great. And so thank you for that. But hopefully, you know, what the Lord has put on my heart is something that you all need to hear, even though I am not intimately involved with you at this point. Buffalo Anabaptist Coordinator. Really what I'm doing is I'm trying to connect with the things that are already going on in Buffalo and figure out what kind of ministries there are there, and maybe even look for opportunities to cultivate new ministry that the conference can be involved in, and then let you all know about that. Share that throughout the state and the conference. So I'm working on that, and hopefully over the next, you know, weeks and months, you'll see some information, whether it's in the bulletin or newsletter or whatever, that you'll see things that you can get involved in Buffalo. But I grew up in the church. I grew up in the Wesleyan Church. My father's a minister. He still is a minister. For those of you who know the Beaver Camp in that North Country area, he's a Wesleyan minister up in the Ogdensburg area. And he's there, and I went to Houghton College when I became of age. I guess I actually went a little late. I was about 4 years late to college, but I went to Houghton and I studied religion there, and really enjoyed my time there. And I settled in Buffalo shortly after, and kind of tried to see what was going on there. And at the time, I wasn't really intimately connected with the church of my parents and the church of my grandparents. And this is something that you may know or have you've heard through the news media and different things. Young people these days aren't terribly connected with the church that we have cultivated over the years. And I found myself in that kind of a place. And so I was searching, trying to figure out where do I fit in? Where am I connected to the church? And really what that led me to was Matthew 25. And many of you probably know the story, the righteous and the unrighteous. Jesus separates them, right? And he says to the righteous, "Come into the kingdom, for when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you took care of me. And when I was in prison, you came to visit me." And I figured, you know, if I can't find a place to connect to the church of my parents and grandparents, at least maybe I could feed some people. At least maybe I could feed the least of these. And so so Megan and I, we decided to move to the east side and start what we call an urban farm. It's a little under an acre, and we have probably about 60 or 70 different boxes that we grow food in. So those of you who are farmers, you wouldn't consider that a farm. We grow in boxes. But what we do there is we try and grow as much food as we can for the kids and the families in our neighborhood, where the median household income is about $9,000 a year. So we're a very low-income neighborhood. But one of the things that I love so much about our God, though, is he doesn't leave us where we're at. He meets us there, but he doesn't leave us. And I was a fairly naive and a kind of a, you know, I don't know, headstrong young man. I might be still, but I don't know. He didn't leave me there. He took my naive, my willingness to do something, anything, even if it's just this one little thing for the kingdom, and he took that, and he worked on me, and he stretched me, and he grew me, and of course, he's still doing that today, but what he's done is he's brought me from Matthew 25, and this kind of settling for at least just feeding the least of these, to a passion for Matthew 28. And many of you know that story, right? It's the very end. Jesus has died. He's been resurrected from the dead. He's proven that he is the Savior of the world, right? And he's with his disciples on a mountaintop. And he says to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And surely I will be with you always, even until the end of the age." This is what God has brought me to, a passion for going, a passion for Matthew 28. So this is where I'd like to spend the rest of our morning here together. And the first thing I would like us to notice, if you want to turn there, and you can look at the text there in your Bible, Matthew 28, it starts in verse 17. We're really going to cover 18 to 20. But in verse 17, it says that the disciples, the 11 disciples, Judas is out of the picture by now, so the 11 disciples gather on this mountaintop. Jesus calls them together. And the first thing I'd like us to notice is that this is all of the disciples. This isn't the inner circle. This isn't Peter, James, and John. You know, the leader, Peter. This isn't the beloved John. This is all of them. Of course, they're included. They're there. And the first thing I'd like us to notice is that this mission on Mission Sunday is for all the disciples. Paul tells us that the pastors, the evangelists, the teachers, they are there to equip the disciples. They're there to equip the saints to do the work of the kingdom, not to do it for them. This message, this mission, is for all the disciples. They were all there. They were all given the same directive. And what was the directive? Well, he starts off by saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Why does he start with that? I don't really know why he started with that. But it seems to me like he started with that because he wanted it to be absolutely clear. He didn't want any misunderstanding that this is the God of the universe, creator of heaven and earth, incarnated on earth, and I'm giving you this mission. I'm giving you this directive before I go up into heaven. This is the last thing I'm going to tell you to do. He says, "All authority has been given to me, therefore, because I am the creator God of the universe, because I have proven it through rising from the dead, go." Go. We just spoke about it this morning. Go. In the church today, we I don't know. I think it's the evolution of the church, right? We became part of the nation states of the world, and pretty much everybody was considered Christian within our nations and within our cities and our towns and our parishes, right? The Catholic Church has this idea of a parish where everybody in that place is a part of that church. But we've got this idea that those who have no commitment whatsoever to the gospel are supposed to come. We go out and we say, come to church, come to our activities, come to our fun things, when they have no reason whatsoever to do that. We are the ones committed to the gospel. We are the ones committed to Christ as our Savior. Go. Go to them. Connect with them. So that's the second thing I would like us to notice, is that Christ calls us to go, and this is exactly what he did, right? He came from heaven, just as Phil was saying. But not only did he come from heaven, but when he was here as a person, and when he did that ministry, he went to the tax collector's house. He didn't stand in the temples and in the synagogue, and he didn't say, bring them to me. Come, bring them to me. He went. He went and he spoke to the prostitute on the street. He went to the adulteress at the well. He went to the tax collector's house and he ate with them. And he took a lot of heat for it. He went. We should go. We should go. Where do we go? It says all the nations. This word in the Greek is actually ethnos. It's not nations. We read that. We think nation state. We think maybe England, or we think the Congo or Indonesia or something. No. Ethnos is people groups. Go to all the different groups of people. Go to all the people in the world, not just the nations. Our Chin brothers in the city of Buffalo there will tell you that there are no less than 24 different distinct people groups in their one province in the nation of Burma where they're from. Go to all the different people groups, not the nations. Ethnic is the word that we get from this Greek word ethnos. And an ethnicity, an ethnic identity, is defined as shared cultural traditions. And I would submit to you this morning, I would argue to you that we, like Burma, like countries all over the world, have so many different people groups in and among us. And we all look the same, and we all kind of do similar things. We go to work, we pay our mortgages and things like that. But we have very different, distinct cultural traditions. We're practicing one right now that is very different than very many people right here in Western New York. There's a very passionate, like fervently passionate group of people here in Western New York. I'm sure you've seen many of them. They gather in the fall on Sunday mornings at Ralph Wilson Stadium. They go through these rituals. I used to work at a school, and some of the coworkers there were rabid Bills fans, and they would post on Facebook. This one woman would post on Facebook, every fall, I would wait for it. I knew it was coming. Spending the morning at church. And she's got all kinds of pictures from the tailgating party at Ralph Wilson Stadium. They made this table. It's probably about the size of this here. They took beer bottle caps and they like organized it into the Bills logo and glued it down to the table. So this is what they take tailgating with them. They have very distinct, very passionate cultural traditions. Another coworker of mine, I asked him, I was talking to him about faith one time, and I said, how was your wife and your family, how were you guys involved in religion or church or anything like that? And he said, well, my wife's family used to go to church, but then they got involved in snowmobiling. It was all I could do to not laugh in his face. I was like, snowmobiling? They got involved in snowmobiling? That you took you set aside the creator God of the universe who saves you from all sin and death to go snowmobiling? What's going on here, people? But we have so many different groups. I don't know. Some of you may work with bowlers, right? The bowling league. Have you been to league night? I don't know. Some of you might be bowlers. That's a very distinct cultural group. Go to these people. Go to where they're at. Connect with them there. Go to all the nations, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to say a whole lot about baptism. I think you guys know something about that. The Anabaptist tradition, if you're not familiar with it, if you're new here, is steeped in baptism and what we call believer's baptism. When you become a Christian, you use baptism as your outward statement of the inward change. And many of your spiritual forefathers had been beaten and tortured and died and killed, drowned for their belief that we don't baptize babies who have no idea what they're doing. We baptize Christians who become followers of Christ. So I won't spend too much time there, but I do want to make a little side note. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know, some people argue that the Trinity doesn't exist in the Bible. And I would submit that they're right. The word Trinity doesn't exist in the Bible. But I think we can agree here this morning that the Trinity exists in the Bible. We baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There are three distinct personalities that make up the God of the universe. Teaching them. Teach them to obey all that I have commanded. You know, this word is intimately connected to disciple, right? Disciple simply means learner. It means student. It means someone who follows the ways of their teacher. This is also something that the growth, the development, the evolution of the church has fallen away from. The idea of discipleship. The idea of walking alongside someone who is a newer Christian, someone who is not quite as mature as you are, who hasn't been in the faith quite as long, and helping them understand what it means to follow Christ. For many years, centuries maybe, we set aside this idea and said the priests, the monks, these are the people who get to understand what it means to follow Christ. The rest of you just, you know, keep paying your dues, your penance, that kind of stuff, and we'll take care of it. That's not what is intended. We are to make disciples. All the disciples are to make new disciples, and we are to teach them all that he has commanded. And that's what he says, you know, teach them all that I've commanded. What did he command? Well, Jesus had a lot of teaching, right? We have the sermons on the plain and on the mountain, the different gospels. We have lots of parables. We have times when he was alone with his disciples answering their questions when they just seemed to not get it after so long. But he also had a way of distilling it very neatly. And when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, it's to love the Lord your God with every fiber of your being. And your neighbor as yourself. Later, he told his disciples, he said, this is how they will know that you are my disciples. It's how you love one another. John tells us that, that the very essence of God is love. The Apostle Paul says, you know, you can say anything you want, as loud as you want, and you can be as right as you ever be. You could have the full truth and logic and everything. But if you say it without love, you're just a blaring horn. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say if you say it outside of love. This is the essence of who we are. We love. Because God loved us first. He gave us the love through Jesus Christ. So what I want to ask you today, how are we doing with that? How are we, the church in America, doing with love? With loving others into the kingdom? With spreading the love of the gospel? How are we doing with that here in Western New York? Or Alden? If we walked up and down the streets and we knocked on doors and we asked people, what's Alden Mennonite about? What's their core value? Would they say love? I hope they would. I don't know if people would say that about me in my neighborhood. I hope they would. You see, nobody cares what our truth is. Nobody cares what our stance is if they know or they think they know we don't love them. If we treat them as if we don't love them, they could care less what we have to say. We go with love. So go into the nations. Go to all the people groups here in Western New York. Love them into the kingdom. Spend time with them. Go to the bowling alley. Dare I say, go to Ralph Wilson Stadium on a Sunday morning. Yeah. Once or twice. Not too often. Don't buy season tickets. You really go crazy then. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's their small group time, right? But go, love these people into the kingdom. Go to the bowling alleys on league night. Join a league, heck. Talk to your neighbors. See what they're into. Your coworkers. What does your coworker do at night? Spend that time with them. Love them into the kingdom. And then we can teach them all that he has commanded. Then our truth matters to them. The best part about this whole mission is the end. Surely, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. We have to go. We have to get outside of our comfort zone. We get into what our neighbors, our coworkers are doing. Show them the love that has been given to us without our earning it. They haven't earned it yet, right? So what? We got it without earning it. Let's give it away. And we don't have to do this alone. In fact, I would suggest don't do it alone. We have Christ, first of all. I will be with you always. We have the Spirit of God incarnate. We have the Spirit of the God of the universe with us and within us when we go. That's a nice comfort. And that'll give us the strength. That'll give us the words. That'll give us the love to give away. But we also have the body of Christ around us. We don't have to just go with the Spirit of God. We can go with the body as well. Go with each other. This is what the disciples did, right? When they went out on missionary journeys, they went in pairs. They went together. You know, it is so easy to spend an evening with a friend who's a non-believer by yourself and not bring up anything spiritual, not talk about anything else, because it's so easy to kind of set that mission aside. Oh, you know, it wasn't the right moment. It didn't really come up. But when we go together, when we go with a team, and I would suggest twos, threes, fours, if you're going to join a bowling league, do it in a couple. Don't overpower it. Don't come in as the church, you know, we're here to love you. Just go be real with your coworker, your neighbor who knows you already, who knows something about you and might think you're a little weird because you do that church thing. Show them that you're not. You're not all that weird. You just have the love of God within you. So we get to do this together. We get to do this with the Spirit of God in us, and we get to do this as the body of Christ. We get to join in the mission that God has given us as a team. And as we go, Christ will continue to give us the strength. And that's what I've found in our neighborhood, is that I had no idea what I was getting into. You know, there was some vacant land. There was this vacant house. We bought the house. We bought our house for $3,500 at the city auction. and it was worth every penny. Not much more. And we fixed it up. And it's been kind of a long journey. And we bought land, you know, as it came available. And we've been growing food. But when the times get tough, when things are hard, Christ is there. He is there for you. And the only thing that God can't work with is an unwillingness to go. That's what he asks, right? That's the gift of salvation. Like, I will do all the hard work. I will die and be punished for your sin. You just have to be willing to take it, right? You have to be willing to receive it. It's the same thing with this great commission, this great mission that God has sent us on. All we have to do is be willing to do it. It's hard at first, and there are times when it's really hard. A couple weeks ago, one of the boys that is in, I have a junior high group on Monday nights, and the boys from the neighborhood come over, and we do a little Bible lesson. We try and have some fun together. and build a relationship and learn a little bit about the Bible. Well, one of the boys, his he's got four siblings. I think it's the father of the two youngest siblings. Was in an argument with his mom probably a week ago Friday, and shot and killed her. And so we've got five kids in our neighborhood who are now living with their grandmother, and they're in a different neighborhood of the city, so we're trying to get in contact with them. One of the other boys in the group is a cousin, and I asked him if he wanted to talk about it, and he just said no. But God gives us the strength to work through these things. God gives us the love and the words when we don't have them. Like, what am I supposed to say to a 10-year-old kid whose aunt was just shot dead? I don't know. But he knows that I care about him. I know that. I know for sure. He knows that I'm there for him and that I love him. And that's what's most important. So I would encourage you today, as we think about missions, support all of the different ministries. We need people to go into communities, to go into places of the world where there aren't the resources to sustain the ministry. We have been blessed beyond measure, and we need to support those, yes. But that doesn't get us off the hook for the mission that we're on. We need to go into the lives of the people around us. We need to be actively involved in our part of the mission, as well as giving so that others can be involved in the part of the mission that God has called them to. So I thank you really for inviting me here. I'm excited to see what God is going to do over the next weeks and months as I explore what God can do or what God wants the New York Mennonite Conference to do in Buffalo. And I hope that as you guys hear what's going on in Buffalo, you will get engaged in that. And you've got tons of opportunities today to see what's going on and to see where you can spend some of your extra time and some of your extra money. You know, we have an interesting culture. I'll say this at the end just for you to think about. We have a very interesting culture these days, and I don't think interesting is probably the right word. Most of us go home. Most of our neighbors, you know, we go to work, we go home, we get in our house, we turn on the television. These days, we turn on our individual devices, right? And so everybody's like this, looking at things, and we watch television. And what do we watch on television? We watched in the 60s and 70s, we watched the Brady Bunch, right? And in the 80s, it was like Golden Girls and Family Ties and those kinds of things. In the 90s, we watched things like Seinfeld and different stuff of that nature. Today, there's shows like Parenthood. I don't know if anybody likes Parenthood or those kinds of shows. But the highest rated show of all time was Friends. I don't know if anybody watched Friends or cared about Friends or think Friends is fun. It's all on Netflix, and so you can binge watch it all you want. But what is in those shows? Friends, in particular, is a group of six individuals. Two of them are related, brother and sister. A couple of them are college friends. A couple of them are friends from high school. One is just, you know, they're just friends from where they live. They're neighbors. And they get together. They get together in the morning for coffee. They often get together for lunch midday. They're always together every night, whether it's at the coffee shop, Central Perk, or whether they're at the apartments of Monica and Chandler and those people, you know. They're spending their lives together in fiction. It's a fictional account of the very thing that we as human beings long for the most, relationships with each other and with our Creator. And we go home and we sit alone, sometimes with our families. Nowadays, it's alone on our devices. And we watch fictional accounts of the things we desire the most. And then we say we don't have time. I don't have time to go bowling. I don't have time for relationships. I don't have time for getting into their lives. Well, let's spend our time. Let's spend our time loving our neighbors. And stop watching fictional accounts of that on television. But think about that. The next time I am a number one culprit. Don't feel like I'm calling anyone out. What's the show that I enjoy these days? The Blacklist. Oh my goodness. Those of you who know The Blacklist, it's a thriller. But the next time we go to turn these things on, we need to think about, like, do I need to be here? Could I be somewhere else? Could I be somewhere sharing the love of Christ with someone? Could I be at the bowling alley with my neighbor? Let's pray. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be your hands and feet. We thank you for the opportunity to be incarnate in your world. We pray that you would open our eyes as we go to work, as we talk with our neighbors, that you would open our eyes to the desires of our neighbors, that you would open our eyes to the hurting around us, and that you would give us an undying love for those around us, God. I pray that you would give us the strength, the courage, and the creativity to get outside our normal routines and to be about your mission, to go into the lives of your children, the people that you have created, that you love so much. Amen.